Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jake Ross.
Hi, Joe.
And Matt Knight.
I am the law.
Yes, indeed. We have just been talking about Judge Dredd. Judge Dredd's absolutely fantastic, especially like the movie Dredd, but we also like the movie Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone. Maybe for the mainly for the bit with the three seashells.
No, that's demolition.
Yes, I'm very well aware.
Which is also an absolutely fantastic film.
It was good. Did you ever go to the... Joe, were you in Brighton when the engine room was still around?
I do remember the engine rooms, yes.
Yeah, so the engine room had a Demolition Man pinball machine downstairs for a really long time. Which is so weird. Like, that movie was straight to VHS. I'm sure it didn't make it to the cinema.
Demolition Man, surely.
I don't think it had the pedigree
of the cast.
I'm sure it didn't have a theatrical release. I'm sure it didn't.
Maybe not. My main problem with Judge Dredd was that Sylvester Stallone didn't wear the mask for long enough. Like, he only wore it for the first little bit.
Yeah, because I think in the comic book he never takes it off, right?
Well, exactly. You never see his face.
But then you wouldn't see Sylvester Stallone's face.
Ah, it is a good face.
I love the fact I just had a look. Demolition Man. It came out October 8th, 1993. And was considered a successful film for Stallone. He's now forgot his name in that film. His character name is Sergeant John Spartan.
Good hero's name.
I watched another classic movie just to finish round it off, which is on TV the other day. Blade. Oh. Hadn't seen him for ages, and how like 90s that film is. It's unbelievable.
It was the problem around that time. It was just before directors and artistic directors realized that it might be good to train actors in weapons use. You know, whether that's shooting a gun or fighting with swords, and there was just zero of it in Blade. So the fight in Blade where they're fighting with swords, they're just standing toe to toe, like just, you know, doing their blades side to side really, really quickly with like nothing else happening. It was always... Yeah.
It was the first of the like Marvel resurgence, so, wasn't it? The first Blade was 1998 and then X-Men was 2000. I mean, those movies feel like they are a million years apart.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, just looking at some of the early Marvel movies. So, I mean, Captain America was first released in 1944. And then there was a Howard the Duck movie in 1986. Then the Punisher in 89. Captain America in 1990. Then an unreleased Fantastic Four movie in 1994.
Oh, I wonder what that is.
Yeah, who knows?
Unreleased. Is it going to be better than Nick Cage's Superman?
Superman Lives. Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't know who any of these people are by name, so we'll just ignore it. But yeah, then Blade, X-Men, Blade 2, Spider-Man, Daredevil, X2. I don't know what that is. What is
X2?
Oh, that's just another X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's as many of the Marvel films as I'm willing to read off this list.
There you go, yeah.
Exciting. Well, there we go.
Anyway, let's talk about some guitar stuff because we are fast approaching Black Friday and Gear of the Year, and that means that there's lots of ridiculous discounts on things at the moment, and also, you know, lots of things coming out. Plus, we're getting sent all the stuff that we didn't have already for Gear of the Year from bands. So we're going to be talking about some of that because some of it is pretty cool. Before we start talking about those things, this is a slight tiny tangent. I appreciate the whole start was a big old tangent. But I posted something on the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Guitar Nerds Forum, dear listener, where I was just like, look, these are some cool... This is for listeners who record at home. There are some incredible plugin deals going on at the moment. The best thing about plugins is because they're not physical. When a company wants to actually discount them, they can really actually discount them by tons and tons. And pluginboutique.com have done just that with a number of their plugins. So I posted a link on the group to four that I thought were especially good deals. Normally, most of them are sort of £60-70 plugins that have been reduced to less than a fiver.
What?
Yeah, which is wow. Really good. Yeah, there's like their DB33, which is like a cool vintage organ for £3.95. I know organs are something that everyone has access to. Most doors come with something built in, but it's very, very good. And is no money at all. But then even like complicated stuff like their Expand 2 software, which is sort of rack synths that allow you to, you know, add all sorts of texture to anything that you already have as a stem in your session. That's come down from £45 to £4. So and there's a load of other stuff, some cool retro drum machines in there, Loom as well, which is a really good modular synth thing. All of them are like, you know, £3-4 down from £60-70-100. So very, very worth checking out. You can find that on the Facebook group, as I said, dear listener. But yeah, just have a look around for plugin deals at the moment. Lots of companies seem to be jumping on it, and which is great because there's loads of cool cheap stuff. But before we talk about other guitar things, I need to introduce our new patrons for this week. So welcome to Ben Howell, hello Ben, to Jonathan Hafferty, and to James Dore, who has upgraded to the top tier. So yes, welcome. Actually, Jonathan Hafferty has also upgraded to the top tier. So welcome both.
Crikey,
welcome
you must both. Be doing something right, Joe. I mean, personally, I don't see it, but well, it's nice that other people do.
It seems like I'm appealing to less people, but more wealthy people. Because we've actually we are five
these
patrons
are three millionaires
down.
Are that you just
yes yeah those. clearly
oh, good gotcha good
but we're five patrons down month on month, but we are $8 up month on month, so that's not too shabby. I'm pretty happy with that, appealing to the wealthy. That's
good.
That's what we want to do. Anyway, so yeah, let's talk about some of the Gear of the Year stuff.
Fortune 500
up.
Nerds, our new new spin-off podcast.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. So speaking of expensive things, the Chase Bliss Automatone preamp turned up this week.
That was nice. Do that again.
The Chase Bliss Automatone preamp.
Oh, no. There was more of a pre-amp. Pop.
Preamp. There we
yeah,
go.
Yeah, nice. I like it.
Yeah,
that's
good.
What it is. I've just realised.
What?
That's what's doing it. That's what's causing people to upgrade. Is you popping?
Ah, yes, of course. My wonderful diction. Anyway. Anyway. So yeah, the Chase Bliss Benson Automatone Preamp Mark II. My goodness, it is very good. So
is it weighty? Does it feel premium?
It's got It's got a decent weight. I expected the faders to be heavier, a heavier weight. You know.
Oh, okay, more resistance.
Yeah, but they're quite light. But obviously they have to be because they're mechanical. But yeah, let's talk about this because this product technically was announced last year, but it never ever came out. And we thought about including it in last year's Gear of the Year, but then we were like, none of us have got to try it. It really hasn't landed. It wouldn't be, you know,
wasn't finished.
Fair. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't really finished. So So we've added it this year, and Joel's been kind enough to send us one of these, you know, fantastic units. I mean, the Benson preamp, just anyway, on its own, was an incredible, and is an incredible sounding preamp.
Yeah.
One of the best sounding preamps for guitar or bass that you can possibly get. It's very, very good. So adding all the features that you get with the preamp Mark II is just fantastic. One of the things that's kind of missing from the Benson preamp for me is controllable mids, which is, of course, added.
Well, so you can turn them off.
Well, you've got mids and you've also got frequency, which is like the Q that you can move around as well. And then, I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff. So, Matt, maybe you'd be best to do like an overview of the Automatone for the listener.
Okay. Yeah, so flying faders. We've all seen them. We all want them. And that's what they've built into the Automatone. So the Automatone is not the name of the actual pedal itself. It's their series. So this one's, yeah, the Preamp Mark II. So it's Chase Bliss effectively designing the hardware, and then sort of Benson sort of providing the, I wouldn't say software because it's not digital, but they're kind of the inner workings of a pedal. So in this case, their preamp. So what you've got is basically sliders for volume, treble, middle, and bass, which is what you'd expect maybe from a sort of more complex drive pedal. And then the mids, you can select which frequency you want. And again, so on the face of it, the sliders do what most pedals would do on a knob, for example. But where this evolves a little bit more is that you've got... because the Benson is so versatile and it does, you know, some distortion stuff, more fuzzy stuff, you can effectively select where you want the mids to sit. You can affect what sort of diode you want, silicon or germanium, and that will obviously affect...
Or you can have it off as well.
And you can turn it off. So that will affect, it will affect the gain level, but it will also affect how responsive it is to how you play. And then you can have like a gate on the fuzz as well, you know, and there's a couple of different things that you can kind of tailor, like the Q frequency. You can select how wide it is or how wide the mid frequency scoops. And all of that leads to a really flexible and versatile, you know, drive pedal, you know, everywhere from boost to some really sort of disgustingly gnarly fuzz sounds. But I think what's cool is obviously there's a lot of other pedals that do a similar thing, and then you're like, I can't have presets. And obviously this is where this comes in, the fact that you can have presets, and then as you do that, it will jump, you know, all the faders and everything. But I've seen a really great thing with someone using an iPad app called Ribbon, which is Andy Othling, who I've mentioned a few times the last few weeks, and basically automating the faders.
Oh, nice.
Using this thing called Ribbon. So he's doing Eno style generative music, you know, where it like sort of loops in on itself and modulates. And he's using Ribbon to like modulate the faders, like over time, stuff like that, which I think is like, that is just mad.
Cool.
And I think this is, you know, this is the gateway, I guess, into them doing more of that. I mean, the fact that you can have an expression pedal in and you can slide the faders up in real time.
Yeah. It being MIDI controllable, so you can assign this to an external controller as well, is very useful. Because of course it does have two foot switches. One's obviously off on your bypass, and the other one scrolls through your presets. You do have a jump button so that you can flick to 0 or 5, because there are 10 presets. It was 0 to 9 presets.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's basically an incredibly versatile drive pedal that you can just set in a multitude of different ways, and then it just so happens that it's in this really fancy package, I guess. That to me, the faders and all of that is a bonus, I think. It's the design and the taking something that's so good and actually is not super widely known, the Benson preamp, although we've raved about it a bit and loved it, I think in the wider world maybe... It's finding its feet still, you know, and it's finding its way onto more boards, and they've sort of taken that and evolved it into the next level.
I can't believe how good it is, how incredibly versatile it is. I set up like a few presets for myself on there, actually running it with bass. I thought it sounded absolutely incredible on bass, and I was able to, you know, set the presets up so it gave me like a subby tone, like a dead clean, really subby tone, gave me a sort of a light drive. Then it could give me a really clangy overdrive, and then a normal fuzz, and then a really gated fuzz. And I scrolled through those as sort of the presets. And obviously, you take a MIDI switcher with this. I was using the Mellow Audio MIDI Commander, and I can essentially assign those to the 8 buttons on there. And all of a sudden, that's pretty much every tone you're going to need. A good sort of span of, you know, normal track tones.
I think this is going to be the interesting thing, because this year as well, and obviously, you know, for Gear of the Year, we always pick the gear that we've tried, because obviously we can give a fairer opinion. But obviously, at the same time, they've taken the Automatone platform and teamed with Meris to make the CXM 1978, which is their reverb. And like you said, this is something that it just takes distortion to the next level. And this, I've just watched so many demos, it just takes reverb to the next level. It just sounds... Well, I was watching this stream and someone asked, you know, Trace Bliss and Maris, like, how long is the reverb? And they were like, it's infinite. And if you can just, you can literally just set it and it will just go on forever. And wow. It just sounds so magical. And I think this is the thing. You know, there's a lot of research and development and a project that's doing something that's so very different into the market. Reminds me of like the Moog pedals, you know, like the Freak Box and the Ring, and being in that big box and going, you know, we're not going to try and fit everything into a normal size case. We are going to do something a bit different. We are going to push things a bit further. And, you know, just do everything that Chase Bliss does, you know, take, you know, Drolo and Old Blood Noise and put them together to make an ambient pedal, and taking those circuits and building it into their hardware. I think it's amazing. I can't wait to see what comes next.
Yeah.
What delay pedal they do.
Oh, yeah. It'd be so good. I mean, to put it in perspective, obviously these are not cheap.
I want a phaser where they move, all the faders move with the phase.
Yeah, do you know what it reminds me of? Wasn't a phaser, but it was called the Mirth, which Moog did a pedal called the Mirth, which had like 10 sliders on it, and each one was a frequency band, and then it like sequenced through the frequency band. I was like, oh, maybe you could do something with like a filter.
EQ sliders on there, and then
yeah.
And it had physical sliders on there, and you could a step sequencer.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, the CXM, I mean, these pedals are not cheap. I mean,
£749 for the Preamp Mark II. Yes. $49, sorry, $749.
And $899 for the CXM, which, going by a famous online retailer, as a single effect, so not a multi-effect, not a switcher, as a something you put on the floor, is the most expensive pedal you can buy at the moment.
Do you think that's going to play against it in Gear of the Year this year?
It always does. We can say what we want, but it always does.
I don't think I've ever heard anything sound as good as this. Like, I'll be fighting hard for this in Gear of the Year. I was relatively like, oh, the mechanical faders are, you know, a gimmick that don't need to be there, sort of thing. That was kind of what I was going into this pedal thinking. I was thinking it would be good, but it'll just be a gimmick, and I don't care about this over complex stuff. It's not really my bag. But just sound quality, just what this pedal sounds like plugged in, is unbelievable. And I don't think I've heard anything better than that.
When you've got the connection to the equipment, it does. Yeah.
The thing for me that worries me is the mechanical faders, like as a thing. You know, I showed a picture of the pedal to my band, and my drummer is a sound engineer, and he was like, oof, mechanical faders, you don't want to get that anywhere near a gig.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is, you know, if you or me had it, using it live, we'd probably spill beer on it.
Yeah.
But then again, is that what you're...
you know, he gets his paintbrush out every day and dusts his pedal board.
The biggest risk with it being in Matt's bedroom is that he'll make some music that's so emotional he will cry. The salt would evaporate, will erode away the solder points. No, I mean, I think it's you kind of have to think about it in its position in the market. And I mean, realistically, how many people are using this and taking it out for a gig?
Well, I'm thinking about it. But
you think about a lot of things, Wally.
Well, to be honest, do you know what I actually did? I realized I loved the sound of this, and I immediately contacted Benson to get a Benson preamp
because
I was like, well, that one doesn't have faders. I can probably trust it on my pedal board. And whilst I can't scroll through all the options, at least I can get one of the sounds.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, for guitar or bass?
For bass. I just
for
thought
bass,
as,
to
I,
use it live.
As a bass drive, I thought it was incredible. All the tones were amazing. Obviously, it was a great bonus that it could do the fuzz things for me, but, you know, other pedals can do that, you know, so that wasn't a make or break. I love that it's in one box, but the thing that really did it for me on bass was actually just the sort of like a light to medium drive, like using it as your sort of driven amp tone. So not crazy all-out drive, which was still fine. I just thought as a gritty, old school clangy bass tone, it sounded absolutely amazing for that sort of thing. And so I imagine, you know, I imagine the Benson preamp will be able to just be an always on with that sort of.
Well, nice. I'll take the automaton off your hands, then, Joe.
I haven't said that. Obviously, it does have to do the rounds. Now, other kind of high end pedals that we've also received this week that we're considering for Gear of the Year this year. His favourite of Matt Knight. Matt Knight, last time this company lent us a pedal, you bought it from them. Origin Effects.
Yes.
And it was the, what was the tremolo reverb that they did?
The Revival Trem.
The Revival Trem, that's right. Now this one is the Magma 57.
Introducing the Eventide Black Hole Reverb Pedal. Like all Eventide pedals, Black Hole allows players to fine-tune every aspect of the effect. With its new, user-friendly, intuitive interface, just about anyone can shoot for the moon and land beyond the known universe. With Black Hole, users can pick and choose from five otherworldly presets to create supermassive atmospheres with the ethereal reverb of Black Hole. Soar through nimbus clouds with the airy delay of dark matter, achieve sonic supernovas with the resounding swirls of nebula, experience an uncharted galaxy of sound with the warmth of singularity, and achieve a stellar rotation of sonority with Pulsar. Or get creative and create presets of your own. Black Hole can load as many as 127 presets via MIDI, all accessible via the preset list on the Eventide device manager for your Mac or PC. Black Hole opens boundaries with two types of infinite reverb, infinite mode and freeze mode. The scope for creativity with this pedal is almost unending. Check out the Eventide Black Hole at eventideaudio.com.
So for anyone unfamiliar, the NAMM release from Origin, you know, way back in January was the Revival Trem. So this was their brown panel sort of 60s Fender design of an amp. So basically recreating the pedal in an recreating the amp, the power amp of that amp in an analog pedal format. That's what Revival or Origin Effects have done. And you've just got, you know, gain, tone and volume, but they've also added in a bias tremolo. So that's physically like a bias tremolo in an amp is pushing and pulling the valve power. And for me, you know, I expected just a really nice tremolo sound, but it was a really, really good drive pedal, low gain or high gain to get that kind of fuzzy, overdriven, you know, cranked Fender thing. And that's what I loved about it. As soon as I plugged it in, I was like, man, it just feels so nice to play because it feels like playing an amp.
Feels more organic.
Yeah, absolutely. And then they go and hit me right in the face in November with the Magma 57. So I'm instantly like, right, same pedal design. It's also got an LED that, like, you know, flashes, you know, instantly in. And they've basically... same sort of concept, so that amp in a box, but they have recreated the acclaimed 1950s Magnatone 200. And the Magnatone didn't have tremolo, it had vibrato. So this is far more of that sort of amp design. It's a little bit more gain in it, different vibe in the tone stack, although it looks similar. But obviously, instead of a tremolo, you've got this vibrato, which just sounds amazing. It just sounds... I mean, I love vibrato. I mean, tremolo's obviously wicked, but vibrato has got a far more... In some ways, you play more... When you're using a tremolo, you play more to the tremolo, but a vibrato sits more in the background, so you feel like you can have it on more often. That's why Joe's band's got vibrato on 100% of the time.
Yeah.
And... I just think it looks great. I mean, the gold knobs on it look amazing. But the great thing about these pedals for me, and this isn't a situation I necessarily use it in, is the post-drive EQ. And you can actually plug this straight into a power amp. This actually works as a standalone preamp pedal. So you can actually go straight into a mixing console.
Yeah, just at the flick of the switch.
Yeah.
It sort of recommends, it says, you know, if you want to use it like this straight into a door, just make sure you've got a cab sim going on as well.
So the Magnatones, I mean, where people are probably more familiar with a Fender sound, probably less familiar with a Magnatone sound. Mm. And if you've ever heard a Magnatone or you've seen them, I remember seeing them at NAMM and they have true stereo vibrato. They sound pretty damn amazing. So this is the same idea as the Revival Trem, but this is based on an old Magnatone. Sounds amazing. Cool. Cannot wait to try it and A-B it.
Pretty premium priced again, I think these ones.
Yeah, $360. £360 for
pennies
the Trem.
In comparison to the pedal we spoke about last.
I mean, there's so much more that goes into the automaton, I guess, in some ways. But these feel like an absolute brick. That's what I mean. That's what I love.
So
I get them out of the
box,
just like, this feels, you know, absolutely...
Are those knobs good? Those knobs are gold, right? Solid gold.
Solid gold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no wonder it's expensive. And is that case... that case is actually silver?
Yes, solid silver. Platinum foot switches.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
But one thing
smelt them down, boys. Smelt them down.
Yeah. Frankincense and myrrh.
That's Christmas
on the
covered.
Inside.
Frankincense and myrrh.
But I think one thing that I do love, which is a great design choice, which I remember talking to one of the people at NAMM about, is that you've got the foot switch in option, which allows you to remotely turn on the tremolo or vibrato effect and tap tempo the speed. So
how are you gonna do that? I don't
oh
understand.
Well, you might
using something
use...
like using something like a gig rig.
Yes.
I assume. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. Yeah. Gotcha.
So, you know,
cool. Perfect. Right, so moving on.
So yeah, I think that was a wonderful design choice, even if it was you know, just for losers like me.
Yes.
But yeah, no, super 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 excited to hear that.
I mean that sounds
great.
It's sounds... Gear of the Year is going to be a real tough one in the pedals category, because there have been
it is
some
every
strong
year.
Yeah, I mean, it is every year, you're absolutely right, but it is especially strong this year on the kind of on the slightly more affordable things that we've been sent. The Old Blood Noise Endeavors Visitor. Now, there are two things. Obviously, the dear listener, I don't know if the ad will have come up at for you yet, but there is Old Blood Noise Endeavors are reintroducing the Black Cap, their dual series parallel tremolo. They're reintroducing that. It was part of their Black Friday. They released it just for Black Friday last year. This year, they are reintroducing it for Black Friday, and then so only on Black Friday, and then they're keeping it as a current model in their lineup, which is pretty cool. I think you can also get 15% off on Black Friday on everything on their shop, which is very good, including their Gear of the Year submission, which is the Visitor, which is their parallel. They're getting very into this, obviously. Old Blood are very into doing things parallel, but it's their parallel multi-modulator pedal. So you've got two, it's blendable modulation. Your first modulation can be tremolo, chorus or phaser, and then your second modulation can be tremolo or chorus, and then you just have like a blend like a mix between them. So rate, regen, and depth, and then you can control the mix and how much the secondary is actually kind of coming through as well. The secondary knob actually, sorry, a correction there. The secondary knob simultaneously controls the depth, rate, and delay for the second modulation, the sort of background modulation, which is very cool. Running this kind of having two parallel choruses for me, I thought sounded absolutely incredible. I was a big fan of that sound.
Right, whenever you're using chorus, the one thing you want is
more chorus.
Exactly, yes. But and also I thought running a really slow phaser with like a tremolo on the secondary as well was just gorgeous,
good.
Like really thick, really lush, really super usable.
Running stuff in parallel is something that not many people get the option to actually do or try.
Exactly. So putting it into one box.
It makes such a big difference. It's
like especially to modulation.
Yeah, it's like you were saying quite a few months ago now with the LS2 and running a drive pedal in there and then using the second loop with nothing in it as you're clean and blending between the two.
Yeah.
You know, parallel drive makes a huge difference because you've got more of that clean signal come through. And I think parallel with modulation, if you're using something like a chorus and a phaser, it helps sort of give you the shimmer, but also give you a little bit of that kind of sway movement. Or, you know, tremolo can sound a bit too intense, but it sounds really good with, you know, other things. So I think that's
it's great. It just makes all your modulation more three-dimensional. And you're absolutely right. Like it is complicated to set things up in parallel to actually, you know, use a pedal board in that way. So giving people that option in one little box that you can just, you know, plug straight into your board is very, very cool. I think this is one of the richest, luscious sounding modulation pedals we've tried this year.
I have to also just call out the fact that the artwork is, of course, as all old Blood Noise pedals are, fantastic. So it's called The Visitor, and the cover is this really nice kind of relatively simple looking drawing of a person stood in what looks like a bush, looking out with a look of kind of disbelief on their face. And I can only assume that it's implied that this person has just witnessed the landing of a UFO and is hiding in the bushes, and they're looking out at this this visitor to Earth.
Yes.
It looks incredible. I mean, that's what I'm getting from it. Maybe I'm reading a bit too much into it.
No, yeah, absolutely.
Because initially I was really gutted that it wasn't, I thought it was going to be a Nana Visitor signature pedal from, who obviously played Kira Nerys in Star Trek DS9 for like close to 200 episodes. And I was very disappointed to find that it wasn't a Nana Visitor signature chorus pedal. But having looked at the artwork, I think that it's suitably alien enough me to give it my seal of approval.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
It is. It's Super cool. And actually, Jay, if you like the artwork so much, you'll be pleased to know that you get a poster of the artwork with the
always.
Pedal.
Bloody lovely.
As we mention every time we talk about our Blood, Noise endeavors, I'm sure it's getting dull, listener. But you do the instruction manual folds out to a lovely poster of the artwork. And I think the artwork is something Old Blood take very seriously. And it's really cool. It's a wonderful little feature to have on top of a really cracking pedal. Well, we've talked about lots of pedals. We should talk about a guitar. Because one of the guitars that's going to be entering Gear of the Year, which we got this week, was from our good friends at Music Man. Lovely, lovely Music Man. They've done very well on Gear of the Year, on years gone by, with the St. Vincent, with the Valentine. Did anything else do well?
Just those Mariposa. Two?
Mariposa, of course, did very well.
Albert Lee, I think we've talked about a lot.
Not Gear of the Year, but we definitely talked about it a lot.
And then, of course, you have their other sort of non-signature guitars, which are the Cutlass and... what's the other one? What's the one that's not a Cutlass?
Stingray.
The Stingray, that's it, of course. You've got the Cutlass and the Stingray. And to join those two guitars, Music Man have, of course, released the Sabre. The Sabre was a bass guitar model that they've made. So it's the same body shape as that, but this is the Sabre guitar. Really interesting addition for Music Man, because I kind of feel like the Stingray and the Cutlass, the thing that they were both quite vintage inspired. And whilst everything about a Music Man is very modern, Music Man's, you know, proprietary pickups, the feel of the neck, the torrified maple that they use, everything about it feels very modern, but they did have a very traditional look. And so to appease the sort of player looking for a high quality super strat style instrument who might buy a DK24 or an AZ, an Ibanez AZ, they've introduced something for that sort of player in the Sabre. So a much cleaner, slightly offset super strat, scratch plateless, a pair of humbuckers, their trem system, five-way switch, incredible sort of bird's eye baked maple neck, and then a range of very lovely figured finishes.
Yeah, I think as well, because it's a Kume body, with a maple top, you know, so you're not, it's not super, super heavy. I think these look great. I think the Cobra Burst looks wicked. It's sort of like, I mean, even the logo, the Sabre logo, looks a bit 80s.
I mean, that was the original logo from the bass.
Yeah, I just think it is, I don't know. I really like them. I mean, the pictures they always put up, they put great pictures up. You know, the Cobra looks great. It's a great top. They use, you know,
they've sent
really
us the
nice
honeysuckle. We've got the honeysuckle.
That's the,
I was hoping for the boogie
one.
Burst. Yes. Yeah.
Bougie Burst.
Yes, that one.
Which is the red one. But yeah, I mean, I think they look great. I think for someone who wants more of a modern-ish Music Man, who's not going to go down the route of a Mariposa or a St. Vincent, I guess, it's a great choice. I mean, great specs.
I didn't realize it was a Kume. That's really interesting, because a Kume, well, I mean, we've talked about this before, because it's a type of mahogany, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's right. That is correct.
Like a lightweight, although I've just Googled, because I was sure that it was, and I've just Googled it, and I've come up with the wood database.
No, it definitely is.
For all things
and,
wood.
It's just a comment from Mark Packham, I assume, saying a Kume is not a type of mahogany. So I don't know. I thought it was a type of mahogany, but it's got a Janker hardness of 400 pounds.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
400 pounds per foot, I guess that is. Just in case you were interested.
I did think it was heavy.
Yeah. And the modulus of rapture is £10,870 per foot per square inch.
I see. Okay.
So,
well,
yeah, pretty interesting.
That makes more sense.
Yeah. I mean, now I understand the Janker hardness. I mean, I'm fully in. I really should have looked that up before this podcast. So sorry for letting you down.
Reintroducing the Old Blood Noise Endeavor's Black Cap. Previously available in extremely limited quantities for Black Friday, this year Old Blood are committing the Black Cap to their permanent product line. The Black Cap is a dual asynchronous tremolo, a uniquely voiced interpretation of the White Cap. The Black Cap retains the analog tremolo side of the original and takes the highly functional digital tap side into the realms of harmonic tremolo, allowing the player to toggle series and parallel and run analog into digital or both side by side. That, plus volume boosts for each side, ramp mode to shift the speed via holding the tap switch, and an expression jack for external tap controls, the Black Cap is a slice of extremely cool. Plus, this year for Black Friday, Old Blood Noise Endeavors are running a 15% off all products from Black Friday through to Cyber Monday. That's the 27th to the 30th of November, or November 27 to November 30, as you say. So grab a bloody good deal from a bloody good brand at oldbloodnoise.com. This episode of Guitar Nerds is brought to you by Shergold Guitars and their latest electric guitar, the Provocateur. Celebrated by Total Guitar Magazine as one of the most refined single cuts on the market, with endlessly satisfying playability and a flawless set of tones, the Shergold Provocateur combines remarkable specification with a retro vibe for a unique and bona fide rock guitar. From the brand that once powered the likes of Joy Division and is now championed by modern guitar pioneers and So I Watch You From Afar and many others, comes a fresh and exciting range of electric guitars. Designed by legendary British guitar luthier Patrick James Eggle and featuring a roasted mahogany neck and a solid mahogany body loaded with USA-made Seymour Duncan pickups, it's easy to see why Guitarist Magazine officially voted the Provocateur one of the best electrics of 2019. You can find your nearest Shergold dealer at shergoldguitars.com. And if you're not in the UK, don't fear. Many UK-based Shergold dealers have super awesome international shipping options to guarantee your Shergold will make it to you in the most far-flung of places. Proudly stand out from the crowd and discover yours today at shergoldguitars.com. Shergold Guitars. Be your own original.
One thing I've got to say about the Music Man website, which I think they do absolutely fantastically, is when you scroll to the bottom of a page, you get their specs, and then you can pick any other guitar to then compare it to, and it gives you the exact same list that you can then go through and go, oh, right, I can see the differences. And I'm just comparing it to the Vantine. Really interesting. You know, scale length, neck radius, frets, you know, woods, you know, neck woods, neck join, all the same. The differences...
Oh, really?
Yeah, the differences are coming in the neck width with the Valentine being
wider.
No, being much thinner.
Oh, interesting.
Actually. The thing about the Valentine is it starts thin and gets much thicker. Sabre starts a bit thicker and then sort of maintains a little bit more of that. But yeah, really, really interesting. And obviously fingerboard difference, I think on the Sabre, depending on the one you go for, you can have maple, rosewood or ebony, which I think is quite cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, the honeysuckle and the... Cobra Burst and Maple, Bougie Burst is the Rosewood, and the Cobra Burst, no, not the Blue Burst, sorry, is the Ebony. I think the Ebony board might be a winner on that.
Yeah,
looks like a great guitar. That really, and I mean, again, everything that Music Man make, I'm sort of in love with.
Yeah, the quality is just so extremely high.
It's interesting because I'm like, oh, dude, you know, really, really would like a new guitar. Definitely can't afford one. But every time I'm like, you know, keep saying every week, oh, I really want like a, you know, White Penguin or White Falcon dream guitar. And every time I go on the Music Man website, I'm like, they just make the best guitars. Every time I look at them, I'm just like, I'd have almost any Music Man, I think. Probably wouldn't have the Silhouette. That's the only one I don't like. That's the weird three pickup one.
I'm not humbucker sure on that humbucker. Or the Lukather, really. But, you know, yeah, pretty much everything else on their website is an absolute winner. Now, staying on the tack of guitars, we haven't spoken about this yet. We really should talk about the new Epiphones that we're quite excited about having landed. They've finally reissued the Crestwood, the Wiltshire, and the Coronet, all at incredibly affordable prices, all part of this new, inspired by Gibson thing that the Epiphone have been going down recently, which is wonderful. It means we get corrected headstocks, really great looking old school Epiphone headstocks. And it's lovely to have that gorgeous double cut. You know, that it's just such a wonderful shape, that Coronet body shape. And to have it available as the Crestwood, the Wiltshire and the Coronet is absolutely fantastic. Cool kind of range of options.
I really like the description on this press release of the Wiltshire, which says the Epiphone Wiltshire is a no-nonsense rocker, which is basically me. So I'm fully, fully on board with that. That's quality.
And the Wiltshire come with, oh, is it the Crestwood that comes with the big tremolo?
Yeah, the Crestwood has got the kind of maestro style trem. I don't think it is a maestro.
And mini humbuckers as well.
Yeah.
Pretty
that's
cool.
Right.
I can see that one being easily the least popular.
Well, it's weird because that was the one that was available. That from my memory, and Matty, maybe you can suggest otherwise, but that was always the one that was like more like relatively available, like because the Coronet hasn't been available. I don't think. I mean, from Epiphone at least, it's like it's 99.
The Wiltshire was the one that was available back when we were working at GAC.
The Wiltshire was available for a while, but then I think the Coronet had a reasonably recent resurgence. Because wasn't there a green one? I feel like there was a Inverness green or something like that. That was available. I'm just going to have a look. Oh, need to take 2020 off of there. I'm sure that there was a green one that was available fairly recently.
Interesting.
So yeah, not sure.
I mean, I expect it to be all about the Coronet in this one because the Coronet's coming with a lovely dog-eared P90 and it's just got the simple junior style wraparound bridge. I mean, everything about it screams cool. It's like a super, you know, Hive style guitar. And I love those sort of junior setups anyway with the P90s. But I have to say the Wiltshire looks absolutely stunning in the sort of satin black with a dark torque guard with that Epiphone E in the middle of the scratch plate and a pair of non-dog-eared P90s, and the proper bridge. I mean, that I can't believe they're turning these out for £400 a pop. I the more I look at the Crestwood, the more I'm not into it. The sort of the weird oblong inlays, I can't get behind those either.
The whole thing seems like something you'd be into. It's just so just so weird. There's just so much. It's like someone has looked at the option sheet and then just said, I'll have all of that. I'll have all of that. Thank you. You know, I don't know. That just seems exactly like the sort of thing you'd like. we've got this really ridiculous trim that's going to be really difficult to use. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sounds fantastic. I'll take two. You know,
I definitely remember the Wiltshire being around for a while, although these ones do look different than the ones I remember. But this the Wiltshire in black with that guard, I think just looks absolutely, I think it looks great. I think as a guitar and something a bit different and a bit more rocky, I think this is a real winner. I really do.
Yeah. I completely agree. I think these are going to sell by the bucket load, to be honest, as soon as they land. It's Epiphone just seemed to be so corrected now. Like the autumn interesting retro headstocks, actually paying attention to their heritage. Like, this is super cool, incredibly affordable coolness. I'm very up for this. On the Gear of the Year front, Jay, you picked up something that we're going to be talking about for Gear of the Year. It's always tough for Fender, and especially tough this year because Fender released so much stuff. But whilst we haven't officially decided, I imagine we're going to end up talking about the American Professional 2 series of guitars a lot on Gear of the Year, just because that is the... You know, that is the standard for Fender. And the fact that they've introduced a new one this year, I think, is obviously very important and something that we need to take notice of. But you've picked up one of the Jazzmasters.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it briefly last week, but I've had a bit more time to sort of play around with it. And they're just fantastic. I can't remember if I talked about it, but the Trem has been redesigned for the Jazzmaster. Yeah. And it uses this new, it's been called the Panorama Trem, which basically it kind of feels a bit more like a Strat tremolo. It's just really nice. I mean, I have played Jazzmasters where when they've been set up, the Trem has worked really well. But, you know, by and large, the Trem is always a bit of a labor of love for people, and I just don't think you're going to get that with this. I just think it's going to work, and it feels really, really nice. Just the whole series is great. I mean, the Jazzmaster and the Strat for me are the two that I think are the real winners.
Really?
Yeah. I think they're really good.
Do you think that's because a Tele kind of works less with modern appointments, or maybe doesn't need modern appointments quite as much as a Strat or a Jazzmaster?
No, I don't think that is the case. And actually, the Tele has got it's got the kind of you've still got the three brass saddles. It's got the proper bridge on it.
Oh, really?
What right. We would consider the proper bridge.
The proper bridge.
In terms of like the kind of basically like a 52 Tele bridge. It's got that, and in fact you can get it in a Butterscotch Blonde, I don't know, I think for me, in terms of kind of the real step ups, I mean, because the American Pro Teles are great, like they're fantastic, they always have been, but for me the big real kind of improvements are the Strat is so good. It's so good. And if you get a chance to see one in the Miami blue finish, I mean, that is the one.
Is that the blue to black burst?
No. That's called right. Dark Knight, which right. is what I've got in the Jazzmaster. And I'll get that over to you when I can, okay. when I can be willing to let it go. The Miami blue is the new kind of blue finish. And it's incredible. It's my favorite. I was trying to think of how to phrase this because what I want to say is it's like my favorite new Fender color.
Right.
But like, I can't think how far back that goes. But it's definitely my favorite modern Fender color.
Right.
And like, I've never really been a big blue fan in general, I guess. I mean, I like Sonic Blue, I like Daphne Blue, but anything sort of more recent, you know, like Candy Apple Blue, I've never been a big fan of. I tell you what this looks like. It looks a bit like Taos Turquoise, which is another colour I do really like.
Which is an amazing colour.
Taos Turquoise is incredible, and that's always been custom shop only. But this kind of looks a bit like that. And both the Miami Blue and the Dark Knight, I don't think you can get across how good they look from photographs. Like, I put a picture of the Dark Knight Jazzmaster up on my Instagram, and a bunch of people were just like, oh, I saw the pictures of this on the Fender website and I thought it looked bad. This looks really good. And it does. Like, it looks so good in real life, and trying to get a decent photo of it is really difficult. But yeah, that's amazing. The neck has got this new kind of, it's called Supernatural finish. And that's really, really nice. And then there's also kind of a continuation of the Ultra series, which had the different shaped neck contour. Pro 2 has that as well. So it's got like the offset fourth bolt, which is interesting. So something to watch out for if you are.
It does feel like a lot of
changing necks and stuff.
Oh yeah, of course. It does feel like a lot of upgrades on this one. It feels like the Pro 2, they've really pushed what Fender's standard range of guitars are supposed to represent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Fender's done a good job of doing that kind of across the board with most of the modern releases. With kind of every release, I think there's one or two models in particular that really stand out. And for the Player series, for me, that was the Strat and the P-Bass. I thought they were just absolutely astonishing, which is why I bought the Strat, obviously. I just think it's a great, it was such a step up above the standard. And with the Pro 2, I think the Jazzmaster and the Strat are the two models from that. But it's difficult. I'll get this over to you so you can try it, Joe, because I think you'll really like it. The Trent in particular is really interesting. It's really cool.
It's been a long time since I played a Jazzmaster as well, so I'll look forward to that. Matt Knight, last week we were answering some questions, I think, on the Patreon episode, and Andy Manley had a question about Marshalls in a box, I think it was something like that, and it got us on to talking about Marshall's pedal range, and that resulted in you making a purchase this week.
Did so actually during that podcast when I was googling Marshall Governor and just getting my facts straight. It was interesting, I googled the phrase Marshall Governor pedal, I think, and a listing came up for a tiny dealer, I guess shout out to The Music Vault, which was based in a tiny an indoor market that had one for sale, an original Marshall Governor Mark One, at a reasonable price. So I purchased it during the podcast, basically, or very soon after, and it turned up a couple of days later, and bloody great.
So this is the old the large
so this is the large
sort of black and red box, is that right?
Or... yes.
I can hear it in the background.
Wow.
Yeah, that might be me clambering around. Yeah, the original Marshall in a box, because it was designed to be a Marshall in a box, as we were saying on the Patreon last week, started the whole kind of revolution, I think, for that. Introduced in 88 and discontinued in 91. Basically, the sound of a cranked Marshall in a box using solid-state technology, and made famous by Gary Moore, as it was on the cover of Still Got the Blues and everything. And it was interesting because this week, also just as a bit of news, Friedman released the small box amp and a pedal, the small box being their take on that sort of tweaked, hot-rodded, harmonically rich sort of Marshall, which is also now in a box. And it made me realise how many are out there. I got my repaired JHS 80 Andy Timmons signature, which I think is kind of almost that MI crunch box, which is based on a Marshall Governor. Hot rod a little bit more. Andy Timmons uses boogies now, so there's a couple of sort of boogie appointments on that. But really, really good. Just instantly just felt nice to play. Like we were talking about the Revival drive earlier, just felt a bit organic, felt it responded really, really well. And a really cool thing, which I didn't realise it had until I actually sort of looked at a few more pictures and read about it a bit more, little effects loop on it. So you get a Y cable, stereo to dual mono, and then you can put a pedal in the loop of the Marshall. So when you turn it on, you can get like a delay or whatever. So I was pairing that with my old trusty DD3, and I just played for ages. I was like, this is brilliant. That little Phase 90 I was like, oh, it's everything I need.
That's very cool.
Yeah, so very, very cool. So Marshall, it was a made-in-Korea version. I think they made a few in the UK first. They were going for silly money, like over 250 quid. Found an article from Mike Piera, who runs Analog Man, and he was like, they're the same circuit. So I was like, that's fine. You know, so but no, it's really good. And actually, I meant to reach out to our friend Thorpey, because I then A-B'd it with my Dane, and I could dial the Dane into a very, very similar vibe. And I don't think, you know, Thorpey does circuits his own way, and I'm sure it's not anything. You know, I know he doesn't do clones, but it was interesting to get that same sort of feel and game range out of it. But depending on our rules for the pedal board build off, Joe, I might have to put this on here. It's just
there's not going to be any restrictions to sort of current pedals, I don't think. I don't know. I don't
we'll,
know if
we'll
there
see.
Should be.
We'll see.
We still need to work out the rules.
Yeah, I was really impressed by this Marshall Governor. And a lot of people, a few people have been saying, oh, what's the best Marshall in the box? I would say if you can find one, hunt down one of these governors. Definitely, as some people, quite a few people in fact, have noted, they're not constructed as solidly as you would hope. The switch, I must admit, the switch is a bit flimsy, and apparently all of the hardware jacks are proprietary, so if you break them, apparently Fender do a part for an amp, a headphone amp, that still works with them.
Say that again.
So apparently they're proprietary jacks, but Fender make a stereo phone jack, which has got a part number here, which apparently works in its place.
Okay. So, interesting. I think I know what that part is, but very interesting.
Just list those part numbers out, Jay. You know you want to. I got that this week. Very good, and welcome addition to the collection. I might put it on the shelf. Might put it on one of the pedal shelves until it finds home on a pedal board. But good little find, I think.
Very nice indeed. Now that's that pretty much brings us up to time on this week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to go and continue this over on our Patreon at patreon.com/guitarnerds, where we're going to be talking about, I want to talk about the new Dunnable guitars, the affordable line of Dunnable guitars. So we'll talk about those, maybe the new Morgan amp and the new Mesa Boogie, and maybe we'll squeeze in a question. We'll see if we can manage that.
Well, we did
that.
Three a couple of weeks ago, two last week. So I think if we get one question, then I think,
We're certainly getting through them. And if you, dear listener, want to come and continue this high level of guitar geekery, then you can join us on patreon.com/guitarnerds. There are three separate tiers where you can do that. A $1, which will get you this episode ad-free and early each week. A $5 tier, which will get you that, plus access to our entire back catalogue of mini-series and Patreon specials. And then there's the $10 tier, where you get all of those things, plus you get your name sung in a podcast song at the end of every episode. Now, this week, I'm having some electrical work done on my house tomorrow morning, which means that I have to go and edit the podcast tonight as soon as we finish podcasting.
I was actually thinking, Matt, I don't know about you, but I was really feeling like a bumper episode of Patreon.
6 hours.
Yeah. I, you know what? I was really feeling maybe what we should do is we should watch both the Dread films and then spend some time
simultaneously
comparing them. No. Right. One after another.
No, we watched it simultaneously twice.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Yeah. How's that sound, Joe? Sound good?
It sounds fine. But the problem being, I normally sing the podcast song. I normally record that in the morning. But I'm going to have to do it like late tonight. I'm going to be like shouting into my microphone. I might have to do some sort of whispered version of the song.
Oh, very nice.
But yeah, we'll have to see. Anyway, dear listener, you can join us on all the social medias with @GuitarNerds. And, come and hang out with us on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/guitarnerdsforum. Thanks very much for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more of this guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Bye.
Shh. Everyone be quiet. Don't speak loud. My neighbours are sleeping. I don't. want them to hear me, so I am gonna sing this really quietly. Paul, Drew, and Russell, Kristen Abbott, and Ty Allen, Yogi the guitarist, Jonathan Lafferty, Kyle Harris, Cloud Lister, Dad Simon's Hitch, Chris of Joe Harpy, or Sean Hughes and Michael Howe, Brian Hanson, Shane Emmett, Jeffrey Wax, and Eric Emma, Samuel Frost, and Brian Lance, and Gavin Randall, Lyndon, Jacob McGee, and Andy Manley, and Scott Arting. Edwards and Nate Nagel, Stephen Burr.